the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Inns Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza Hillman, and I am the host of this podcast, my weekly podcast. Welcome to one and all. If you're just joining me, hope that you are glad that you landed here. I guess you'll find out soon whether that's true or not. But if you've been here before, then I hope you're here on your own volition and not because somebody has forced you and moved your index finger to hit play on your iPhone. That's not cool. That's probably illegal in some states. In the country of the United States, one of the countries where there are people listening to this. Small steppers all over the world, you guys. It's a revolution of hundreds. Wow. And by the way, this, like my sixth start. I had five false starts before this one. You can only imagine, I think if you put your mind to it, how really, really bad the other five were. One of them, I started talking about protein right out of the chute. Scrap that one. Anyway, welcome to everybody. This is my weekly podcast, and I'm dedicated. I'm dedicating my life, really, these days, to trying to teach people how to live healthier and happier in the context of the modern world. And I come here every week, and I hope that you do too, to be reminded of two things: one, that it's doable to live better via my small steps approach, and two, This is the downside, the buzzkill. It's a struggle. It's a struggle to live better and to live healthy and happy in the modern world. It's a struggle. More on that in a few minutes. But it is a struggle. There's an inherent struggle. I'm here to tell you that ain't a bad thing at all, because I'm looking at struggle and I'm going, there ain't much good to come out of no struggle. Now, most people can say that more eloquently than I just did. In fact, everybody could. But what I mean to say is nothing really worthwhile in the world. And that goes for true health, feeling good in your body in a way that actually affects your mood. And I always kind of harp on that a little bit because people don't really connect like that. That comes with a struggle. Would it be as much of a struggle if we were all dropped in the wild right now to fend for ourselves? Would our choice to eat healthy be a struggle? No, of course not. It'd be a choice. It'd be not even a choice. It'd be like, we got to find some food and we got to find it stat. See? Stat. That is, by the way, how gorillas talk, which is weird, from the 1920s. We would find food and we'd eat it. There would be no struggle. We would move our bodies in finding that food. There would be no, God, I really don't feel like exercising today. It'd be like, well, if you don't, you ain't gonna eat. That ain't not how it is today, is it? We don't have to exercise to eat. We don't have to move our bodies. It's not even called exercise in the wild. It's called going to get food. I'm gonna go get food. We go get food. We do that. We go get food. First, we go to work and get a job that gets money, then we get food, but fine. But we go get food and we go in a big machine where we have to push a pedal, turn a wheel. My God, this car doesn't go very fast. 1,000 times faster than it would be on foot. This car doesn't run very well. So we go and we expend no energy, and that's a hassle. Sometimes I got to go pick up food in 7 minutes. And that's, you know, not how it is in the wild. So what's my point? My point is that we have evolved for the most of our millions of years of evolution in the context of the wild, in the context of more, and even when we started to populate and sort of become a modern society kind of thing, before the invention of things like cars and, oh, I don't know, drive-thrus, there still was a more direct connection to food when we were, especially when we were more agriculture-based and there was more small farms and we sort of were connected to that. But now we're not. And we're getting less connected day by day. We're getting less, what I argue, natural day by day. Do I think small farming is more natural than the food system we have now? Yes, I do. I don't think it's 100% natural. I don't even know what that means. And I was actually thinking in the car today when I was listening to last week's podcast, which I have to do because, oh, I don't know, I'll forget what I say. And I was thinking about how in the modern world, the word natural is thrown around, even by me, approaching the natural. Natural this, natural this, natural ingredients. Well, the fact of the matter is nothing in the modern world, virtually anything, and most of the plants you buy at the market, for instance, a cucumber, that wasn't how it started. We, through techniques of farming and things, we've created things, broccoli, like that didn't exist. It's carrots today don't look anything like they did whatever a carrot looked like 50,000 years ago. It didn't look perfectly orange in a perfectly cylindrical, you know, hey, look, I'm not a thesaurus, okay? Roundy. Cylindrical is the word I was looking for. Woo, closure. It didn't look like it. So to say, oh, I'm 100% natural, to me doesn't fit. And that's why I love the, I mean, I'm not like patting myself on the back, but I'm comfortable with the approaching the natural vibe almost came out of my mouth. Wow. I'm okay with the approaching the natural terminology because it's approaching the natural. And what it does is it takes off the table absolutes. It takes off the table, frankly, here's what it takes off the table. I'm eating a cucumber, I go, this is really natural diet. And some guy goes, that's not really natural. It's been not exactly what the banana used to look like. And therefore we toss it, you know, baby goes out with the bathwater. So the approaching the natural, if it does nothing else, gets rid of the jackasses. I think that's a very, very good direction for us to be in. We minimize jackassery. We live better and healthier in the world. Less people to annoy us. How is that not a bad thing? How is that not a bad thing, you guys? How is that not a bad thing? For those of you just joining me and you jumped on here because you thought, my philosophy of health, that sounds good. Maybe I could get some pointers on vitamin B6. I apologize, but it's bigger than B6. Man. I taught a class on Saturday. This is the first time this has happened to me, and it was hilarious. But not for the person who I'm going to talk about, who is 100% not listening to this podcast and never will. I'll tell you why. So I've been teaching at the Inn for years. Hundreds of classes, literally. And 95% of people are into it, and they might not change overnight, but they get it, and they're learning, and they're having fun, and I make it fun. I hope. Anyway, so I taught this group class and there were six people there and we're sitting around talking and this mother and daughter show up late. So first of all, they show up late. So don't catch my intro, kind of where I'm coming at. I want you to be patient with me. This is a different way of coming at things, blah, blah, blah. And right from the start, I could tell the daughter was just not having it. She didn't want to be in the class. I'm sure that the mother dragged her, you know, and she's like young. And 25 minutes later, she gets up and just angry and literally yelled something about how you should never change what you eat without checking with a doctor. And then how the China study has been 100% debunked. It was a flurry of craziness. But what was excellent is that her mother stayed and had a great time. And the other four people were just like, we all kind of had this moment, like literally like a quick moment. And they were just like, anywho. So anyway, back to the, and we just kind of rolled on and we had a great time, super fun class, but that's never happened before. Thank goodness. But anyway, that's what that was. I'm not even sure why I got on that subject, but, I guess if you're just joining me, that's what, you know, I hope this doesn't, you know, bother you. But it ain't typical and I'm fine with that because here's what's not typical also, just so you know, atypical in the modern world, being healthy and happy. Unfortunately, it's atypical. And I have talked a lot about how, you know, disease rates are on the rise. And by the way, that thing about the doctor, like I'm not anti-Western medicine. Had she stayed for 30 freaking more seconds, she would have heard me talk about it. I was talking about a client who did make really stark dietary changes because he had prostate cancer. He was also working with a doctor. But the fact of the matter is, before he started his treatments of radiation, etc., his levels had already started coming down. His PSA levels had already started coming down. He had a very, very bad diet and he had made stark improvement. The body responds. It wasn't overnight, but it was over a month or two. Then as a safety cautionary measure, the doctor advised radiation, which he went through and he had surgery and fine, but he's cancer free and he's still eating really well. Why? Because his step was massive. You don't want to know why? It wasn't massive for him. It was like, yeah, game on. I'm fine with this. I don't need to eat this way anymore. I want to, oh, I don't know, live. The point is that it's a big picture and it's not just about one nutrient ever. It's not just about one thing ever. It's not just about diet ever. That's the message of this podcast. It's approaching the natural in a broad scope. Boom. End of story. winner still champion on my one-sided podcast that nobody can respond to. But you can respond. You want to know how I know? Because I got some really nice reviews on iTunes. Thank you to everybody who does that. You know, I hope it didn't take you a long time. It shouldn't take you more than literally 30 seconds on your iPhone. But I don't know. Maybe you're writing a novella of review. But I really do appreciate those reviews. And when they come in, it helps the podcast, you know, get the word out. And I think that we can all agree that a world full of more small steppers is an awesome world. Just people just incrementally doing stuff. Okay. I want to just touch upon the fact that this podcast is not really, but it is brought to you by my race, Mendocino Coast 50K, MendocinoUltra.com. I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to stress on that much. I'm race directing a race. I'm excited about it. Two big things of news on that. 51 signups so far. 51. Last week was 40. It's growing weekly. Way more than I expected it to be. Literally, I thought I'd be ecstatic with 35. I thought if I get 10, still rolling it. Why not? Why wouldn't I? But the other thing is today, Ultra shoes, Ultras, you know, the Ultra Zero drop thingamajigs. I don't run in them. I don't run in them, and I'll be honest about that. But they're sponsoring the race. How cool is that? They don't sponsor the podcast, so I don't have to sit there and go, Ultra, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's very cool that they're sponsoring a first-year race that's going to have a maximum of 100 people. I think that's pretty sweet. I know they're a good company. Many, many moons ago on this podcast, I had a guy on here as a guest named Cody Goodell. Really good guy. And he and I still cross paths now and then, but he's an ultra runner. And that's the first time I ever even heard about him. So I think they're a cool company because they're sponsoring cool guys like him and good races like the Mendocino Coast 50K. MendocinoUltra.com. Boom. End of story. Okay. Now I'm going to do one more plug. And this is not a sponsorship. Okay. I want to be clear about that. No money. And he doesn't even know that I'm doing this. But a podcast listener in New Jersey emailed me, and he's emailed me in the past with some questions, and I've just, you know, he seems like a really nice guy, and we've kind of traded emails. Anyway, he owns a print shop called Valley Printing and Graphic Design in New Jersey, and he emailed me and said, hey, I want to print something for you for the race, just out of the blue. And this is the coolest thing ever. So I said, can you do stickers and make them gold-plated? No, I just said stickers would be great. And he said, yeah. So he's printing me freaking stickers, 500 stickers. Are you kidding me? I can't wait. I cannot wait. So he deserves a plug. If you live in New Jersey and you need something printed or graphically designed, Valley Printing NJ, as in New Jersey, acronym.com. ValleyPrintingNJ.com. His name's Sean. Super cool guy. Tell him I sent you. But anyway, I just thought that was a very kind gesture. So Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Strava, Sid Garza Hillman, more followers on Strava almost by daily, loving it, and I follow you right back. That's the rule. On SidGarzaHillman.com, you can donate to this podcast. You can buy a custom signed book, t-shirts, mugs, and bracelets, whatever. Okay, you can do all those things, find out about me as a health coach, all that kind of stuff. Okay, great. Last quick announcements, StanfordInn.com is where I work. I head up their wellness center and teach said classes. To mostly people who like being with me and would share a cup of coffee with me. That's all I'm asking. Really? Is that too much to ask? I don't think so. I'll even make you an espresso. There's some retreats coming up, and one of them is the No Meat Athlete, and yours truly doing a running retreat in March, June, and October. There's 15% off the March one if you want to sign up for that one. Boom. StanfordInn.com. Okay. I'll be in Marshall, Texas, April 1st through the 3rd, which is coming up now all of a sudden, like the new year. This is December 29th-ish. I don't know. I don't pay attention to calendars. Why would I? Might be the 28th. And that's coming up around the corner. Got to buy my plane tickets for that. And the Edinburgh Veg Fest will be there in August 6th and 7th, veganfestival.co.uk, and Marshall, Texas, healthfest.com. Woo! Woo! Done and done. Least favorite part of my podcast. But I'm supposed to do them. I mean, I need, you know, to get the word out. I guess. Sure. As if anybody goes, that's why. But they, you know, look, some people want to find out more on me and the podcast. I think that's fantastic. So, small stepping. Did my music step today before the podcast. Loving it still once a week. Just not changing. I don't know why. I have been thinking even more about music in the in-betweener days, which is good. I've got like three major projects on my plate right now. And so I'm doing those. And so I'm being productive in those ways. And I just think when they're done, perhaps I might dive into midweek musicery. But for now, I'm kind of digging the once a week. It's what it is. And I got to focus on these projects. I did post another video today, just so you know, on caloric concentration. And 2 seconds about that here. The reason I did is because it comes up a lot, and especially in that class I was teaching, that group class that I referenced before, because it's the point where I'll talk about heavy box foods, and there's a point where I start talking about caloric concentration, and there's a little bit of, I can tell I dwell for a long time on that because I want to make sure people are clear about what I'm talking about. And I think I mentioned this recently because like somebody emailed me on Facebook, Facebooked me, as it were, said, you know, I've transitioned to more whole plants and I'm not feeling as much energy. And I said, you got to eat more, like more bulk, more volume of food. Why? To get enough calories, to replace the calories that you gave up that were more concentrated. Things like oil, refined sugar, white flour, white rice, animal products. These are things that are concentrated calorically because the space they take up has nothing else virtually but calories. There's no fiber. See? So there's, you take an orange and you've got fiber that takes up the physical space of that orange and the calories, but the fiber. In meat, let's say it's protein and fat. There's no fiber in animal products. And so the space you see on that plate, what it takes up is going to pack more calorically. Olive oil. It's a massive amount of calories in a very small space because it's pure calories and, by the way, pure fat, 100% fat, and fat yields more calories per gram than protein or carbohydrate. Fat yields 9. It's over 2 times protein and carbohydrate, 4 calories per gram. So you've got a gram of carbohydrate, 4 calories. A gram of fat, same weight, 9 calories. So olive oil, oils of any kind, really, coconut, and et cetera, are highly caloric in the space they take up. Meaning if you have a cup of olive oil and a cup of lettuce, same size food, totally different amount of calories there. Now, I did a heavy box nutrition video, which I referenced on the new video. So you should check out both of those if you're interested in what I'm talking about. But people often say, oh, I have a big salad and, you know, grilled chicken. But you got to understand that that big salad is only big in size and the calories of that salad could be minuscule compared to the calories that you've had in the chicken, especially if it's fried in oil or if it's, you know, whatever in oil. You're talking about a massive amount of calories in a very small space. So it's really not a half and half meal. It's not like, oh, I have a big salad. In size, yes, but not in calories, because that salad could be, you know, 50 calories, which is a pretty big amount of lettuce, probably more than most people eat in a salad. Then they take salad dressing, the serving size of which is 2 tablespoons. And I think I've talked about this before in the podcast, but nobody in the world has ever put just 2 tablespoons of salad dressing on a salad ever. But they make it serving size because they want to, you know, look like it's low calorie. But it's not, because nobody does just 2 tablespoons. So they do 4 or 6 tablespoons. And now they're looking at 500-600 calories of a light box food. Most salad dressings are extremely light boxes if they're oil-based. And versus 50 calories of lettuce, even though the lettuce takes up the bulk of the space in the bowl. So again, I don't want to dwell on it too much. Watch the video, but the more heavy box, the heavier box your calories come from, the healthier the food, the less caloric the food at the same time. Why? Because the more space the food takes up. Boom. I don't want to overdwell it because you can watch the damn video. It's 4 minutes long. Please. Are you kidding me? That's a good mushroom coffee. I don't believe that that's a good mushroom coffee, by the way. I'm not like 100% behind the mushroom coffee. I think it's okay. It's doing the trick. It's a little later. My wife is out of town with my daughter, the twin, and visiting my new niece. I couldn't go. I was out of work. And so I'm with my eldest daughter and my son. And so, you know, I had to get them rolling with stuff. And usually I come home on Mondays and kind of jam right in here, get this done, but I had to delay it. It's called life, everybody. So I did a little mushroom coffee to keep things on track. Dial back day. Speaking of my wife traveling, and I have a friend in town, these are things that are called stuff that happens, such that I usually do a dial back day on Monday. Ain't doing it. Not doing it today. I got stuff going on. So did I do anything nutty, nut, nut? No, of course not. Didn't do nutty. I did fruit all day because that's just generally what I do. Feel fine. Had a good big salad with some brown rice pasta And, you know, all good, right? No big deal. But the point I want to make is, I have said this before, I have a tendency toward rigidity. I have a tendency toward militancy. It's not who I am. And if you're just joining me, it's the me, not me game. I'm not that guy. It's been me. It's what I've done, but it's not me. Since I've defined myself as who I truly am, regardless of how I've acted, I am not a guy who's militant. Does that mean that I don't feel the twang of the pull, if you will, of the dial back day today? Yes, I did. I was like, oh, I can't do my dial back, that kind of language. Wasting my time. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I don't need to, you know, the dial back days have been working phenomenally and I want to keep them going, but it's a most of the time thing, you guys, and I ain't doing it this week. Fine. Maybe I'll do it tomorrow. I don't even think so. My wife's traveling back tomorrow and we'll probably have dinner tomorrow night and I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to sweat it. I'm not going to sweat it. Now I might feel like a thing like, but I listen, I go, man, I got bigger fish to fry, man. I got more videos coming. I got to do the podcast. I'm working on a project with Matt Frazier, No Meat Athlete. I got cool stuff going on. Why don't we waste my time with the pull of that, right? Okay. Is it a struggle day today? Is it a struggle to maintain the you? Yes. Can you be 100% you? No. Maybe you can. I don't see it. I've never seen it. Everybody's on their own way. I think that the stress of the modern world is so inordinate. I think the stress of the modern world, because it's not just, oh, I'm starving and I got to find food. It's all the things that stress us out. It's not getting a freaking phone call. It's sitting in traffic. It's all this crazy stress. We're piled on with nobody is stress-free in the modern world, virtually nobody. Because people that have very relaxing lives, usually they're not eating healthy food, heavy box foods. So their bodies are under stress by virtue of the fact that they're just not feeding themselves well. So you're up against all that stuff and you can't be 100% stress-free. It is a struggle. It's a struggle. So on top of that, you got to try somehow to be more you than not you. And if all things were equal and you really had no stresses, and maybe if you were out in the wild, that would be most of the time. Maybe. But at least you'd have a fighting chance, right? So you're like, I'm really going to be me. I'm going to focus on this. I'm going to be really good. And then you get a phone call saying that your job is just got shipped overseas and you're whatever. And you just lost your job. You got laid off. Okay. So there's a lot of weird stuff that happens day to day, or your job changes, or you find out, you know, whatever, who knows? Okay. The point is, it's not something to achieve. You don't finally go, I am me, happy to be me, 100% of the time, assuming you're somebody who sings their own praises. So you just keep reminding yourself of who you are. You feel the things that you're like, I don't really want to feel that. I don't feel good. I'm not happy with that. And you go, that ain't me. Who am I? Moving on. It becomes a behavior in and of itself. It becomes something that you get used to doing without even thinking about it. And you feel that kind of thing in your stomach because you had a thing at work or an altercation at work or something happened at work and it's swirling around in your brain and you can't stop thinking about it and it's making you miserable. And then you go, yeah, okay. I'm not the kind of person that thinks about this all the time. I'm not the kind of person that lets this ruin the time that I have, even if in that instance it does. But you just learn from it and you go, I'm not going to change this overnight. I'm not going to be this person who's not affected by this ever. And I may never even be that person, but I know that it's not something I value. I know that I am working toward, via my small steps, this is you talking, being more present, being less affected by what happened to me hours ago, if it really isn't relevant to my moment now. Of course, we get to deal with things sometimes, right? I'll be home and work will call and I got to deal with it. But if something at work happens that bothers me and that robs me of my time with my wife and children at the end of the day, that's where I'm taking issue. That's what I'm taking issue with. And it could be for you, your friends, or it could be for you, a project that you're working on or books that you're reading or, you know, whatever. If the things that are going on in your life rob you of other times in your life where you don't want to be weighed down by those things, that's enter small steps. Enter you determining who you are in your life. Who are you in your life? I ask you almost every week, don't I, you guys? If you're in the car right now listening to this, take a moment and ask yourself right now, who are you? Just name one thing about you, regardless of what you might have done 5 minutes before. Let's say you're in the car and you're eating a fried Mars bar, which if you're in Scotland, most likely you did. So you just ate a fried Mars bar. And that's the 70th fried Mars bar you've had in the last 44 minutes. Again, Scottish, there's a good chance that that happened. Okay, so you just did that and you're in the car and you're driving on the wrong side of the road and the wrong side of the car. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on right now that just is not correct for you. But no judgment here. But you can still in that moment say, I'm a person who eats healthy food. And I think that's worthwhile. I think most people would think that's the most ridiculous thing in the world. That's a gimmick. That's stupid. Okay, fine. Then this ain't the podcast for you. Fine. Go, because there's thousands of other podcasts that'll tell you what you want to hear. This ain't one of them. This is a long-term process. You get clear on who you are. You get clear of how you want to live. That's got to be your starting point. Otherwise, you're going to be walking around essentially with your hands out in front of you with your eyes closed, kind of feeling around going, I don't really know. I know this isn't working, but I don't really know what I'm looking for. And that's kind of most things. That's diet. That's why people bounce around from diet to diet, from quick fix, from solution to solution, from pill to pill, from plan to plan, from relationship to relationship, from job to job. Because for most of us, it's a struggle just to find out what the hell we're doing and what the hell we want to do. That's massive. And what I wanted to talk about a little bit today is to touch on what I mentioned last week, which is I look at this, you know, I said last week, like there's, or 2 weeks ago, I don't remember, but there's a lot of people want to lose weight, but very few people want to make a change, a true change. And what I wanted to frame it like this week, just so you get a better sense of what I mean by that, is sometimes the small steps, I have to say my, because there's other small steppers, but this is my thing. Okay, so listen. Sometimes the small steps approach, you can look at it like it's training. So I'm going to make the analogy of when I was training for my 50 miler. I didn't go out and run 50 miles. I trained for the big day. I trained for the race. I knew my end date, which was the day of the race, and I knew how much time I had, and I had to do this much and this much and this much to get to the point where then I was ready to run that race. And I ran the race. Obviously, I was ready because I finished the race. Obviously, I was ready because not only did I finish, but I finished fine and didn't get injured and recovered super fast on very little protein. What the? And so the point is that this small steps approach for many of you can be training. Think of yourself as I'm in training. I'm in training right now. What are you doing? You dieting? No, I'm in training. Well, you want to lose weight? Yeah, no, I'm in training to start the diet. Because what I was thinking is, and I've said this before, so hopefully you get this. If you're just joining me, you should hear it. The size of anybody's small step is not the same. Everybody's small steps are differently sized. How I define small step is, what is the size of a step you can take on that is not going to be stressful for you or minimally stressful for you? I mean, by definition, any new behavior is going to be, yeah, technically, it's stress. It's an out of the norm thing. You're doing something new and it's a different thing, but you can minimize that stress so significantly by making that step so teeny. But like I said, the person with the prostate cancer, their step was gargantuan. To most of us looking at that, we would say that's a huge step, but you got to add "for me" at the end of that sentence. That would be a huge step for you, but it wasn't a huge step for that person. Why? Because they're still doing it. Long 6 months, 8 months later. That's kind of the tell, right? I mean, if a diet lasts for 2 years, then okay, good. Yeah, successful diet. You stuck with it. It wasn't obviously too much for you because you incorporated it into who you are. Nobody's following a book 2 years later. If you're doing it because it's your most of the time, then hey, man, you're the 1-4% of people, 1-5% of people who actually stick to a diet. Fine. Great, in fact. But statistically, you're not setting yourself up for success when you embark upon a diet. Okay. So my point is that small steppers can. Okay, second point. in that context, how the sizes of steps differ. Because here's what I'm trying to say. Small steppers can make humongous shifts in, let's say, the food they eat, like the prostate cancer example I set. It's a very big shift, but guess what? It ain't a diet. And then, so it looks on the outside like a diet. It looks like that client said, I said to that client, here's what you eat and here's how you're going to eat, go. And that's not generally how I even work with people. I add things in very incrementally, or I work in things completely different than just food. A lot of times with clients, I won't even start with food because it's such a hot topic. It's such where their brain is, and I want to move it into other areas. So guess what? They begin to train for the time that they're ready to take on the big day, which is when they tackle food. That's the race day. Race day is I'm tackling the one thing. So it doesn't always have to be food. It could be you want to learn a musical instrument. You want to quit your job, and so you do all the things that prepares you for that thing. You're miserable in your job, and you realize that's the thing that you want to change in your life. So you start looking at other jobs. You start getting your finances in order. You start saving money. I mean, these are all the things that you do to train, to plan for the day that you do that, quitting your job, so that you're ready to quit your job and it's not a huge nutty nut life change. So again, I'll say it one more time. Small steppers can make big shifts in food, but they just ain't called diets, because a diet implies something that you're following. A diet isn't just what you do. If it's something that you do, you don't think about it. A diet's something you think about it. If you can answer the question, what diet are you on? You're on a freaking diet. I'm not on a diet. I don't have a prescription of I am fruitarian. I am da da da. I don't have a diet. I don't need healthy food all the time. I eat healthy food most of the time. That differs. It's not really that regulated. It's kind of weird for people to think about that, especially for me, in regard to me, because they assume, because I'm a nutritionist, that I measure, count, and weigh things, and I haven't done that in 12 years. I don't even know if I've ever weighed anything in my life. Or counted or measured. I've never counted. Maybe I counted. I think I was doing weight training before. As a nutritionist, I was doing weight training with this trainer, and he had me on like whatever 6 or 7 400 calorie meals. I think that was the only time that I ever actually counted calories. But what's funny is I look back on that and I wasn't eating well at all. I mean, I was eating the correct amount of calories, but they weren't quality calories. They weren't heavy box calories. I just was concerned about the amount of calories per meal. And first of all, am I still doing it? No. You want to know why? Because it's not sustainable and it's miserable and it's looking at packages of things all day. It takes up a huge amount of time. At the time, I was a full-time actor, so I happened to have a lot of time, but it didn't serve me well. It did not serve me well. So I was getting sick way more often than I ever am now. So again, something that looks like a massive shift from a person standing outside looking in, it really doesn't mean anything substantial to the person doing the shift, except to say, if the shift is big for you, then it means something. Then it means you took on something too big. You're going to know it pretty darn fast. And you might say, woo, wasn't ready for that. Okay, back to the drawing board. Let me train. So if I started training for my 50 miler and after 2 weeks, I said, I'm ready to go 20 miles today. I think I'm ready. And I went 20 miles and got injured or just was freaking miserable or couldn't make it. Okay, too big. Jumped the gun there. I got to get back to basics and ease my way in. Apparently that was telling. And that's essentially what's interesting to me is that's exactly how the small steps process works. It's never all or nothing. It's never about absolutes. So it is that kind of thing where I've had clients where when they're in the safety zone of working with me and kind of getting to know this and we can talk through it, they say, well, I kind of want to, I go, do it. I mean, worst case scenario, we get the chance, the opportunity is how I see it, to talk about failure. Because if you take on something too much, I'm here to tell you it ain't failure at all. You just learned something. What'd you learn? Is too much. Good. Back down and let's get back to work. I mean, that's what I want all of you who are listening to this podcast to learn. That there is now, I bring up failure all the time. Why? Because it's what dictates so much of our actions or so much of inaction in the modern world. Is failure, is perfection, is I screwed up. And if I can say, in the process of learning how to be healthier and happier, learning how to be who you truly are, that you learn something in the process, and that if you want to take on something massive, because you, not because you think it's going to be over in 21 days, but if you go, I can do this for the rest of my life, and the this that you're referring to is a pretty huge thing, I say go for it. Because worst case scenario is you realize it was too big, and because you're a small stepper, you go, too big of a step. I got to bring that back down. I bit off more than I can chew. Fine. Good to know. Wasn't there yet. I better go back to training. If I want to win, if I want to be successful, I need to train to the point that I can actually eventually take on that kind of size. But it's not, I'm not there yet. And that's okay. And that's ideal, because all this is happening while you're going to work, while you're raising kids, while you're going on vacation, while you're, you know, everything else that you're doing, paying your mortgages and paying your bills and doing all the stuff that we have to do in our laundry. I mean, all the stuff that fills our days. I don't want to add a whole bunch of thought. I'd like to do my laundry, but I got to sit down with a freaking, you know, typewriter and typewriter. Hello, that came out of my, and an abacus. I have to sit down with a typewriter and an abacus because Sid is making me calculate my small step sizes. I haven't used an abacus in years. Where's my slide rule? Okay. Mm. Okay. One last thing before I get into the subject of this week's episode. I want to talk about, and I want to talk about how powerful, and this is going to not be news to too many people here, but I want to just, again, frame it here in another way. And especially for those of you who are new to this podcast. The small steps approach, my small steps approach, is so much bigger than any one step. You've heard me say that. I probably sound like a broken record. But there, in the reading that I've done on habits, there are literally things like this. Studies have shown people who make their beds in the morning are more organized and more productive during the day. I mean, that's literally something that I've read. And the point that I'm trying to make is, there are seemingly unrelated steps that you can take that will affect a whole bunch of different other areas of your life. And that is why when I've had clients who have had addiction problems with food addiction problems, that oftentimes I don't actually deal with the food because I don't want them thinking about food that much anymore. I don't want them thinking about how bad they are of people because they can't control themselves around something that they shouldn't have to control themselves around in the first place. Because it's so nutty nut nut. And secondly, I want to teach them to bring in more pleasure into their lives in non-food ways so that they can be in a better place when they're around the food. And that's case in point of why my approach has been successful, is because when people sign up with me sometimes, and I'm sure when you listen to this podcast, you might think if I wanted to lose weight, Sid would just tell me to eat this certain way. The expectation is that as a nutritionist, I'm going to go right to the food thing and I'm say, well, calories in, calories out. Even though that's so not at all ever relevant at all. It's the quality of calories. It's the heavier box you go, you'll get to heavy weight, period. A healthy weight, period. Not a heavy weight, a healthy weight. But the expectation is that I'm going to go right to the source. You need to move, you know, you need to exercise, and so I'm going to go right to the fitness plan. Okay, here's what you do. You get up and you do squats and you do sit-ups and you go for a run for 20 minutes at a zone 2 heart rate. But oftentimes that's exactly the opposite of what I coach people. And here's why. Two reasons. One is, what I want to teach people and teach you is, this is a long-term process. This is not a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months even. This is a long-term process. So I keep coming back to that episode I did, we're not there yet. Because oftentimes, like, my job is to figure, what are you ready for? I want you to figure it out for yourself, but I'm going to sort of prod you along just a little bit, hint you along to say, until you realize, I'm not there yet on this. I'm not there on food. I can't take on food yet because that's where the problem is. Okay, like I've said, you can't tell an alcoholic, stop drinking. An alcoholic knows alcohol is not good for them. They know that. Drug addicts know drugs aren't a healthy thing. That's never the issue. The issue is that it's gone past the point of no return in the moment, and they need help to get a new behavior set in place. That's why things like Alcoholics Anonymous are very, very important, and crucial and frankly hugely successful because of the consistency of involvement. Because it's like a live journal. People are telling their stories. They're getting things out. They're voicing things and sharing experiences. That's why I talk about the social network in my book, because they're achieving more success in their lives by being engaged on that level. Weight Watchers would be successful if two things happened. One, they didn't make it about weight. And two, they didn't do the absolute nutty nut nut thing about point systems and all this kind of crap, because it's not even a healthy way of thinking or whatever. And they're not even, it's just off the charts, nutty nut nut. But well, that's what this is. I'm doing a Weight Watchers kind of thing, but just not about weight. I'm saying if running is your thing, if you go, I really want to exercise, most likely the first thing out of my mouth is going to say, okay, let's not talk about exercise right now. Let's not talk about exercise right now because all of your eggs are in that basket and I don't want all the eggs in one basket. Okay? A Triscuit or a Trasket, green and yellow basket. I don't want the whole basket. I don't even want to talk about basket. I don't even want to talk about words that rhyme with basket. I want to say, let's remove the eggs out of the container that holds eggs, and I want to spread those around in other areas, even things out a little bit. Then you're trained, you're ready for the race? Okay, good. Here we go. Now, boom, let's small step in some exercise. What can you do for the rest of your life? 1 minute around the house? Good, that's where you're going to start. That's the kit and caboodle, you guys. But there are anchor types of behaviors. There are behaviors that sort of, if you do this one thing, it will affect the other stuff. And that's the whole point, is a step that is so seemingly unrelated to diet as journaling, or even more unrelated, playing music, can affect your eating patterns. I mean, it's the truth. It's scientifically shown, but I've been saying it for years because it's true. It just works. So again, it's so great because the pressure comes off of you, because you don't have to say, see, I know I want to get healthier and I want to work with this person, not me or whoever, or I want to listen to this podcast, but man, I just love the food. I mean, I don't know. The idea of going on a diet, it's so, and I'm like, yeah, I agree. The idea of going on a diet's miserable. That's why I never put anybody on a diet. I educate people about nutrition and then go, okay, well, how can we start moving stuff in? How can we start bringing stuff in other ways, non-food related? Yeah, why don't you take up a guitar? Yeah, I know, Sid, but I really wanted to lose weight. Yeah, me too. You should take up guitar. But maybe you didn't hear me. I want to lose weight. Oh, yeah, no, I know. And that's why you should small step a guitar step. And it just keeps going like that. I don't clarify anything further than that. It literally, that's just all I say. Just go, yeah, no, I know, but you should do a guitar step. And eventually they just wear down. They're miserable. No, because they play guitar, they try something new, their brain goes in there and they start getting joy in their lives and they start doing something new that they never thought that they could do. And they're starting, oh my gosh, and great. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, they're losing weight because they're in a completely different place around food. Their lives are better, more enriched. They don't need the food as much. They're more aware in the moment. They're not reliant on food for the level of joy that they previously were reliant on it for. Okay. Now, I've been talking for a few minutes about, you know, how I work and this podcast. You're listening to me on this podcast. You're listening to me. Now, if you've heard this podcast before, you will have heard me say multiple times things like this: do not do what I do, or this: I am not a guru, or this: do not follow me. The reason why I say that is because what I advocate for, besides small steps, is a life unmediated. That's the title of this podcast episode. Okay? A life unmediated. There's a lot going on here, and I might even have to jump in next week on a little bit of it. But what I'm finding is that the world is becoming more and more mediated. So I touched upon this earlier in this episode. As we get more unnatural, so we have less direct connection to the things in our lives. We are mediated by food industry. We are mediated in the sense that we don't go and get food directly anymore. Like I said, we have to go get the job to get the paycheck, to get the in the bank account, to go into the market, to use the credit card, to buy the food. There's steps in between us and the things that we need in our lives to continue and enrich our lives. There's mediation there. We've got something in between. We're no longer directly connected to most, to our friends and family. We are mediated by devices, technology. This is not a good or bad thing. This is a reality. This is something for us to understand, because in our efforts to live better and live healthier and happier, I think it's a healthy direction to more directly be involved as anywhere that you can. So in other words, and actually the habits that I was talking about, the behaviors of bringing that in, some random behavior like music and how it can affect other things, like you could, this is hypothetical, this is wholly not a study, but it's something like you said, if somebody could say it, study it, you know, people who learn a new instrument tend to be healthier eaters. You know, it's like that kind of thing. That's definitely not a study. I'm not citing anything, but I've read things that really aren't much weirder than that. People who do this tend to be this, this, and this. And the connection isn't readily clear. It's not readily, it's like, well, what's the connection between making your bed and being more productive? Maybe it's that you get up in the morning and you kind of get your life in order. And maybe that's the thing that allows you to sort of start at a baseline of organization and feeds the way that you then engage in your life throughout the day. I have no idea. And actually totally not that interested in terms of the mechanism of that, only to say, I love that that proves the point I've been making for years, which is that these little small steps are way bigger than the steps themselves. That the deep breath you do take can affect it, how happy you are at work, how productive you are, the one deep breath you take in your car on the way to work. But it's a direct, that's a direct effect you're having on your life. It's unmediated. I talk about the connection between you and who you want to be. We're mediated by that. We're mediated by the media, right? We're mediated. We think we should be like some actor or musician that's successful. That's who we want to be. The media is between us and who we actually are deep down. And I said that last week, that believe, you know, just believe in yourself. You can be successful. Well, maybe you don't want to be successful in that way that you think you want to be, that you want to have a platinum album. Maybe that's not really what you want. The direct connection via my small steps approach, it directly connects you in an unmediated fashion between you and who you are, between you and your body. You're not mediated by a diet book. You don't go, well, I want to be healthy, so I'm going to go between me and health is a diet book. And you, in the process of directly connecting you to who you are and how you want to live, it's, you know, like a teach, you know, I hate the term, but it's a teachable moment. You learn more about you. You learn how to pay attention. You learn the art of paying attention to the things that you want in your life. That's massive. Now, it might sound weird because you're listening to a guy who comes here every week and talks about health and happiness and how I think it's best to achieve that. And I do. I think it's my way is the best way. Obviously, I've said this before. I don't, maybe it's not, but I think that it is. Otherwise, I wouldn't come here and waste my time or yours. I think it's the best way to approach it because it takes into consideration a whole bunch of different stuff. Like I said, you can do a diet and be a small stepper. It doesn't exclude anything. It is a way to come into your life and try a whole bunch of other stuff because you're free from and liberated from failure, liberated from perfection. Why? Because you're directly attached to your life. But I'll reiterate what I said at the beginning of the when I talked about the subject of this podcast, which is I'm not a guru. I had a woman in the class go, so we shouldn't do what you're doing. I was like, no, absolutely not. You might end up doing exactly what I'm doing right now, but not because I'm doing it. It's always the old thing of like the, you know, the kid who rebels and does the exact opposite of his or her parents. It's like, you're still letting your parents kind of call the shots, aren't you? You're doing exactly what they do or you're doing exactly what they don't do, but it's still about them and not about you. You're not making an independent decision that might look like what your parents are doing, but you're doing it because you came to it on your own. I mean, that's the power of the small steps is you might end up doing exactly what I do. I don't know, but I hope to just everything that you're not doing it because I do it. That's a failure. If there's failure, that's my failure. Well, hey, Sid, I've been eating like you. I heard that on the podcast that you talk about your fruit only days. So I've been doing that. And I have a single malt scotch every 3 weeks. And I have a big freaking salad with the same. I watched your video and I put the exact same bit of cashew ranch on that salad, just like you did. And then I watch Pretty in Pink, just like you did. Now, everything that you talked about, save the Pretty in Pink, which everybody should watch because I watch it. But save that. That would be a failure for me. Because you're not connected. Because you used me as a, you got mediation. You got me, I was a go-between, between you and your life. That's a failure for me. That's the opposite of what I want to teach you. So I do want you to listen to what I have to say. I want you to consider what I have to say. And then my success with this podcast or with anybody that I ever work with is that then they take the reins and they go, okay, got it. I got the system. I got the way it works. I got it. I can come here every week to be reminded because the odds are stacked against me in the modern world. So yeah, I got to keep coming, checking back in with you. But really, it's only to help me do what I'm doing. And now I'm paying attention. And so I'm doing it. At the end of the day, you guys, it all ultimately comes down to each of us individually. Our own health and happiness, your health and happiness, comes down to you. Every time. You can delay the process of addressing it directly by continuing to be mediated beyond the point that it's useful for you. You can go from diet to diet to diet to diet and yo-yo the crap out of diets for your whole life. And that is a delay of the process that is eventually going to, if you ever achieve it, going to lead you to realize this and this alone. It is all about you. And that's a tough pill to swallow. And that is a struggle. And that's why I say you got to get ready to train to get to the point where you get that. Not conceptually. You might be sitting here agreeing with me and go, yeah, of course, it's all about me. But you have to train to the point where you're ready to actually live that way. You have to learn how to get to the point where you're okay with the big responsibility that you have, which is, it ain't about anybody else except you. And you can look for the guru and go sit at the feet of some guy in a robe, but the fact of the matter is, it is you. And that's why, I'm totally drawn to guys like Krishnamurti and Kierkegaard, because they advocated for a direct, Kierkegaard was a religious philosopher, and I'm not even religious. But I studied him in college, and it was like he talked about a direct relationship with God. That was subversive, because what he was talking about was independent of church and independent of a mediation of an authority figure or a priest or reverend or whatever your religion has in that position. He advocated for a direct relationship with God. Krishnamurti, people, look him up. Krishnamurti, a Indian philosopher. People revered him. They wanted to form a church around him. They wanted to form a huge group. He said, no, I'm not doing it. He shut the whole thing down. I've seen him talk. There's great YouTube videos of Krishnamurti. And he talks about, don't ever go to authority. Authority throws it out the window. Because people were coming to him at his knees. Oh my gosh, tell us what to do. Tell us how to be happy. The questions in the books I've read of his, where they do Q&A stuff, where they documented people asking questions. They're all like, well, what do we do if we do this? And he kind of, in very eloquent ways, keeps saying, engage in the process yourself. Figure it out for yourself. Look deeper into that process yourself. Don't go to an authority. Don't put somebody in authority position. I saw this just great but horrible interview on YouTube of Krishnamurti and so Krishnamurti's talking about this, and the guy goes, but what if you go to like a gas station and you need directions? The person you ask at the gas station, that's an authority. And Krishnamurti looks at him like, yeah, are you kidding me? Like, are you that? And this guy was supposedly a brilliant interviewer or a professor. He was actually a professor. I swear to you. And that was the brilliant question. Well, the guy at the gas station's an authority. And Krishnamurti's like, just wanted to just slap him upside the head. I could just see it in his eyes. It's like, oh, you're seconds from being slapped. That's not what he's talking about, getting directions from a freaking gas station. The difference is that it's information versus reverence. Information versus reverence. Reverence is you make me, and I'm not saying literally, because hopefully nobody reveres me, but you might go, yeah, I like what he has to say. I respect him, and I follow the podcast and everything. But I hope that over time you understand that that is my goal. That's my goal. My goal is not, okay, I follow Sid. Now I can Sid can now have a group of people that are Sid followers. And instead of your bracelet, that's what would I do? It says, what would Sid do? That's a fail. Failed for me. What would Sid do? That's a fail. In the short term, you might be interested in what I do, and it might be a vehicle to get you to think more about your own life. In that case, total win for me. But if it stops at what do I do? Okay, now I'm going to try to get to that point. That's a fail. I don't know what you're going to get to, but I want to provide you the basis, the foundation, such that you can make these decisions for yourself. If you make it about what I do, then you're giving the power to me. If you make the person at work ruin the rest of your day with your family, you're giving the power to that person. If you can't figure out how to be a moral person without going into a church, you're giving the power over to that person or to that body or to that organization. It's information versus reverence. If you can go to these things and get information that you can process yourself and apply in ways that are workable for you, apply in amounts that are small steps, that are, you know, in small step organization, you know, small step amounts, so they're not stressful for you. You use that information to inform your life and to succeed in your life. Win. You make it a reverence. You revere the person telling you this. You revere the guru. You talk about, he's my guru. He's my guru. She's my guru. I follow her. She's in town. I follow her so I can touch her. This is just, I'm sorry, but this is crap. It's crap. Dalai Lama. Oh my gosh. I'm wearing a bracelet that the Dalai. Now I know I'm touching some. Look, I got it. If that helps you, fantastic. But I have a certain problem with this. I have a problem with this reverence of human to just giving up something for someone else because you just give away that power. You can go and learn from the Dalai Lama. Amazing. If he has things to teach you, fantastic. If it informs your life, but there's no reason why you're less important than the Dalai Lama. You're no reason why you're less important than anybody else on this earth. You might learn things from people. I do. I learn things from people all the time that know more than I do about a ton of stuff. Hence the books that I'm reading all the time, because these people know more than I do. And that's excellent. And I love that. I love that I can go to somebody and learn from them because I don't know what they know. That's amazing. But that doesn't give them power over me. That doesn't make me go, okay, now that you taught me something that I don't know, you're my dad. You got power. What do I do now? What do I do now that you know more than I do? I'm not anti-learning at all. I'm the opposite of anti-learning. I think it's fantastic. Learn. I love the fact that my small steps philosophy helps people become more open to information, to learning, to being open to things that maybe are counter to what they've heard. That's like the person that got mad in my class. She didn't want to hear what I had to say. Fine. But not fine that she doesn't even want to listen and walk out the door angry without even giving me a chance to even explain myself. Showing up late and then leaving 25 minutes later. I'm trying to train you guys to the point where you're open to new information from me and otherwise so that you can incorporate and go. Incorporate and execute. I talked about last week. We got a lot of ideas, but few people actually execute these things. My small steps approach helps you execute. When you know something that you didn't know before about how you want to live and who you truly are, now you can execute, and you can do it every time, regardless, like I said last week, of what you believe you're capable of or not. You can take an act starting now. So the last couple episodes, I've said, did you? Did you have a steps list? Did you look at a steps list? Did you make a steps list? Did you add to a step? So again, this week, before I come back next week, ask yourself or play this game. Is there a step that I'm not ready yet. But hypothetically, if I had a steps list, what would I have on there? Don't even start it yet. Would I do one squat per day since I don't exercise? Would I do one squat even though I exercise every morning, you know, quote unquote exercise where I kind of do my, you know, 30 minutes fine. But could I do an integrated exercise? Because that seems to be kind of a cool thing. Like I tend to sit at an office desk for hours and don't get up. So maybe that'd be kind of cool. Like Sid mentioned that he does that, and maybe I'll try that. Not because Sid did it, but well, maybe there is something to being more natural to move our bodies more in a more integrated fashion than, you know, 30 minutes concentrated and then 8 hours of sitting and doing nothing. Maybe there's a way that I can kind of break that up a little bit. That sounds interesting. Let me give that a shot. I'm going to put that on my steps list. Okay, how much could I do every day that I could do for the rest of my life starting now? No problem. Almost zero stress. One squat per day, midday? Yeah, okay. I'll do that. Can you hypothetically run that through your brain? And don't even do it this week if you don't want to. Or if you want to, do it. Again, I'm not anti-learning. You can learn from the things that I talk about just like I learn from the things that other people talk about. But there's a difference between using that information for yourself and connecting it to somehow the person talking about it and making them powerful and making them an authority. And they might be an authority in the sense that they know lots of stuff. Like I know things that other people don't know. Fine, you know things that I don't know. But if it's an authority like you got to come to me to find out what the hell to do, man, I don't even want that responsibility. And furthermore, I can't, nobody can do that job for you. Like I said, ultimately it comes down to each of us. Ultimately it comes down to each of us. This whole thing that I do every week is because I like the fact that there's people out in the world that are at least open to this. I like the fact that there's people in the world that are taking on their own lives using my approach, but aren't writing me emails going, what do I do now, Sid? But I don't know what to do. They're going, what do you think about vitamin B12? Fine. But they're not going, so can you tell me what's the next step I should put on my thing? I don't know what to do on my next step list. And you're the small steps guru. I don't want it. Two reasons. Why? It ain't me. And secondly, it doesn't help you. And therefore it ain't me. It's not useful. It doesn't solve the problem. You want to learn how to be healthy and happy in your life? Learn how to begin incorporating new behaviors into your life that are long-term and that are for the rest of your life and that are fluid and that can change and grow and contract and be removed and new things can be put on, but you're always coming at your life the same way. You're approaching the natural every day you get up, and more you're living a life unmediated. You're living a life unmediated. And that's it's like I come here every week and it's just another way of looking at it and saying, that's what this does. It's a process of engagement. I've been asked about my podcast for people who don't listen to it. And like, oh, so what do? You just talk about like nutrition, or you just kind of talk about like just incremental stuff. Like you just, like if you want to run, you just kind of start off with like 10 seconds or if you want to stop smoking, you just stop like one cigarette a day. It's like, yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. If you came to me and said, I want to quit smoking, the last thing I would tell you is to stop smoking one cigarette at a time. Because all you'd think about was, okay, where's the one cigarette that I'm going to give up? Where's the cigarette? Cigarette. That's all you'd be thinking about. I go, yeah, quit, keep smoking. For now, keep smoking. We're not there yet. We're going to get you to the point where you're ready to stop smoking and it's not going to be a restriction for you. Boom. End of story. How long is it going to take? Sid, I don't know. We'll figure that out together and then you take the reins for the rest of your life. Boom. All right, you guys. A life unmediated. Thank you very much for joining me. As always, I'm glad you're here. I received in the mail a sort of a folded piece of paper. I guess somebody said it's an envelope. On it, inside of it, was another piece of paper that had markings of some sort. Didn't look like a typewriter. It didn't look like a cell phone. Turns out it was a handwritten card from a listener. And talk about a life unmediated. I got a piece of mail in the mail. How about that? That's amazing. It felt great. I was like tangible. There is a difference. I don't know why. Is it more natural? I think so. I think it's a step closer to a direct connection than an email. I think a handwritten note has information on it. It has the personality of the person writing the note. It has the time taken. It has these intangibles. You pick it up and you hold it in your hands. Anyway, super cool holiday card. Very nice message about the podcast and the videos. Very nice. Thank you very much. It was such a pleasure to like open up something and read a handwritten thing. I love that. I hope that there's a, maybe there's a groundswell of a sort of a return as we get farther away from what's natural. Maybe there's going to be a backlash. I mean, vinyl records are coming back. That's a good sign for me, right? More direct, more real, more tangible, right? All right. See how you can reconnect this week between you and your life directly. See where you're mediated. See where you go, I tend to like go there for instruction when I kind of really know. I might still need to go there for a while because I'm not ready to take that on yet, but I think I'm getting to the point where I don't really need that kind of thing anymore. I can kind of do this myself or begin the process of doing this myself. That's called power, you guys. Real power. All right? You guys are awesome. Podcast at SidGarzaHillman.com is how you email me. Any questions or comments? I love the iTunes review. Donate to the podcast. You know the rigmarole. You know the behaviors. Anyway, you guys are doing great. Please come back next week. You know I'll be here. And in the meantime, be well.
Traveled around this dream, then I sickened myself clean. I just grazed the edge of what could have been. Then I'll stop asking, and I'll stop figuring. I'm over flooded, so hiding. Have you relived it all today? Have you faltered on? Have you squared away the days following you? Are you still curious and free to let the colors bleed? I have two more days to pray. I'll give it two more years to fade away. Step foot into this black. Light it up and trying to leave. The exit crawls and just crawls and just crawls. The ladder moves just out of reach. Have you found a way to breathe amidst the smoke and choking wind? Against the season late.